Thanks for tuning in to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and time to turn our attention to a visit with Jim LaLuzerne back once again. He's been the CEO of five different optic-related companies, president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, and an inductee into the Optical Hall of Fame. So we're going to talk about okay vision, but what about great vision today with Jim? And I know he'll be answering your questions about prescription eyewear as we move along today. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Jim LaLuzerne, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hello, Larry. It's always a lot of fun to be here.
You know, I was thinking back to the first time I needed glasses, and presbyopia was settling in. And so what I did was just get a pair of glasses at the local drugstore, and they were okay. But once I got eyeglasses that really were right for my eyes, it was an eye-opening experience. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Why do we settle for okay vision?
Well, let me begin with kind of a hopefully humorous story. When I was working before I retired, I used to do a lot of international travel. And when you travel internationally, you end up spending 6 to 8 hours sitting next to complete strangers, which is kind of an unusual thing to happen. And I used to engage people, and we talk, and they asked me what I did. I asked them what they did. And when they found out I was involved in the optical business, they began to tell me their life story regarding eyewear and their vision and that. And it soon became pretty obvious that the world is broken into two camps, and it's pretty much down the middle. You got those people that, you know, yeah, I wear glasses when I want to see. If I want to read, I put them on. If I want to see in the distance, I put them on. It's like, okay. And then the other people really want accurate, sharp, clear vision at whatever distance they're looking at things. And so many times when I talk to people, I really try to find out which camp they're in because, you know, as you said, reading glasses that you buy from a drugstore can work, and they can get you by. And many people, that's all they care about. They see fine in the distance, or at least they think they see fine in the distance. And when they want to read, they reach in their pocket or purse and pull these cheaters out, they usually call them, and put them on the end of their nose and then look to read what they're reading and then take them off again. And for those people that's okay with, I say, good luck, have fun. But for the rest of us that really care about it, I mean, people are buying 4K televisions now. They want this ultra-sharp precision TV. And you get cell phones with stuff. And then they have glasses that they can barely see. It doesn't connect right. So, you know, I say, okay, what do you tell people to begin with that really care about getting good, sharp vision? And good sharp vision for reading, good sharp vision for distance, good sharp vision for a computer screen, which is not distance nor near, it's kind of in between. And not only is it sharp, but you're more comfortable. If you don't get the right glasses, they don't really hurt you in the long run, but you get eye fatigue, you get tired, you might get headaches. They'll go away if you stop the cause of the pain, but it's still there. So what do you do? And, you know, the first thing is start off with a good eye exam. And I don't want to be preachy about that, but eye exams serve two big purposes. One, your eye health. And there's a lot of eye disease that can be stopped or slowed down if detected early enough. And most people don't think about that when they say eye exam. They only think about the second part, and that is the right pair of glasses. So it serves two purposes. And if you haven't had one recently, it's important to do that. Then some of the basics, if you do have glasses, you know, they should be adjusted properly. And it sounds simple, but I see all kinds of people wearing their glasses halfway down their nose, They're bent out of shape because they haven't had them adjusted. The lenses are dirty. You can't hardly see through them. And, this happens all the time. So those are some very basic things to not just get by, but to see well.
Before you go any further, I've got to tell you a little bit of a story. I lost a lens out of a glass, so I had to go without my glasses for a few hours, and until I could go get them fixed. And so I didn't have my glasses on, and I can't tell you how many times I pushed my finger to my nose.
They weren't there,
and I'm just sort of automatically pushing my, and I thought, geez, I need to get my glasses adjusted so they're not falling down my nose. I must have done it 10 times.
Yeah, well, I've worn glasses almost my whole life, and I do the same thing. A lot of times I go to take them off, and they're already off, that kind of a thing. So a couple other things that help in general. Things like making sure you have plenty of light. The older you get, the more ambient light you need to be able to see well, to read well, to do things in that. But people don't think about that. They might have a corner that they go read a book in, and they don't have very good light. That's very important. You mentioned about off-the-shelf reading glasses.
Yeah.
If you're just the right person, you might be lucky and get the perfect pair of glasses. But if you have a difference in the prescription between both eyes, you can't find a pair like that off the shelf. If you have astigmatism, they don't have any correction for that. If your eyes are wider apart than normal or narrower than normal, the ones you buy are made for an average person's width. And of course, most of those are fairly inexpensive, so they're not adjusted very well. So you can get, and I think you did, get prescription reading glasses. If that's all you need is reading glasses, you can get prescription eyeglasses for just reading.
Those glasses, by the way.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And it does make a difference. And if you haven't seen them, if you don't, you said something very interesting. You don't know what you're missing. And I used to have a good friend in the optical business who was grew up to be in the optical business. And one of the things that got him is when he was 12 years old, he finally went to get a pair of glasses. His mother said, "You got something wrong." And he got the glasses and he went outside and he said, "There's leaves on the tree." I mean, he tells the story and it gives you chills when you think about it. He's 12 years old. He never realized that there were leaves on the tree because he didn't have that vision to detect that. Well, he didn't know he was missing anything. How would he? He's a 12-year-old kid who never had any other experience. So, that part is really important. And there's other things, let's say, you've got eyeglasses that are the obvious choice for most people. And you can get one pair of glasses, and usually it's a progressive lens in it if you're presbyopic, like you said, where you can see in the distance. You can see to read, and you can see everything in between because the lenses have a progression of powers. And, progressive lenses have been around for almost 60 years. And in the beginning, there were some technical problems with them, and some people say, "I'll never do that again." Well, that problem has been gone for 20 years. And most people can find a very good quality, very accurately made pair of progressive lenses that can let them see in the distance, see near, and the intermediate.
Yeah.
They needed to be fit correctly. They needed to be adjusted properly. But one pair does work for a lot of people.
Jim Laluzerne, our guest today, he is talking with us today about prescription eyewear and why you maybe shouldn't settle for just okay vision. Why not great vision, or at least better vision? You can join in our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Jim, we did have Mike in Duluth emailing to ask if there's anything he can do for the terrible floaters he has in his eyes. That prescription eyewear won't deal with that, will it, or will it?
Well, if he figures it out, let me know, because I have the same problem. Floaters are a very, very difficult thing to deal with for a lot of people, and the older you get, the more likely it is that you have floaters. If you suddenly get floaters, you should immediately go to a doctor and have them look at it if they come on suddenly, because it's a lot of times an indication of a detached retina or the beginnings of a detached retina, and there's a lot they can do today about that. So you can prevent it from getting worse, and generally speaking, if it doesn't get worse, if the source has been stopped, they do subside a little bit with time. But I had a detached retina 12, 13 years ago, and I still have a floater. It's kind of a friend of mine now. I'm used to it. I kind of expect it in my left eye to see this thing move through, but I really wish there was a good answer. There is a surgery that can be done where they go in and they literally take the fluid out of your eye and replace it with a clear fluid. It is very difficult procedure, and it has a very low instance of success. I recently had my sister have it done twice, and they both failed. And she had the best surgeon she could find, and he was, you know, the surgery went about as well as it could go, but it still failed. So it's a very difficult thing. They normally will not perform it unless it's so bad that you don't have vision, and then they say, well, nothing to lose.
Oh.
But wish I could be more help.
Yeah. Well, Susan in Oshkosh has a question for you. Let's go there. Susan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Well, my question is, I've been going to the same optometrist for 30-some years, and he has an optical shop in his office. And I just got my last pair of glasses, and they were $750. And I'm, you know, I see these ads on television where you can buy two pair for $60, or you can go to some of the chain optical shops. And I wondered if there's a difference.
Well, there is usually a difference, and let me try to explain what it is the best I can. First of all, in that pair of glasses, the frame is usually a very big component, and in many cases, it might be half the price of the whole pair of glasses. I don't know in your particular case, but many times people tell me, and then I find out what they paid for the frame. Frames are like tennis shoes. You can buy tennis shoes, and you can buy Michael Jordan tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. And you'll pay three or four times as much for Michael Jordan tennis shoes because they have Michael Jordan's name on them. So designer frames and newer models, you pay a lot more for that. So if you're concerned about the price, there is ways of getting around it. And some places will have, you know, beautiful frames, but they're two-year-old models. I don't know if that makes a difference to people, but, you know, you can get them at substantially reduced price. So I usually recommend to people that are concerned about that, be a very upfront. Say, look, I don't want to spend a lot of money on this. Help me find a frame that's, you know, a bargain frame. So that's number one. Number two, in the lens selection, there is ways of reducing cost a little bit, but usually if you have a lens that's that expensive, it is probably a progressive lens. Mm-hmm. It probably has an anti-reflection coating on it. Mm-hmm. It may be a transitions, one that gets darker and lighter in the light.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're adding up all those features and you took that same frame and those same features on that same lens and went to an inexpensive place, my guess is you'd be paying almost as much or maybe even more than what you did from the other place.
Oh,
If you like what you got, and you know, what could be a better thing to have than a pair of glasses that you really loved and took care of you, and you know, people use them for 2-3 years.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
That's a lot of money, but if you love them the whole time, rather than something that's maybe not doing the job, And, you know, a year later you say, I really don't like these glasses. I'm better go look for something different.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Susan, for calling. Talking with Jim LaLuzerne today about your vision and eyeglasses, I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nador, an air producer here on the Ideas Network. Visiting with Jim LaLuzerne about eyewear, eyeglasses, and vision, your vision, give a call, 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org, or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Jim, we're going to turn to Rob in Winona, Minnesota next. Rob, hi. Thank you for calling.
I'm glad to be talking to you.
How can we help you?
Well, I'm very disappointed in the glasses I have specifically for driving. In fact, they're so specific for driving, I leave them in the car all the time. I have two problems. One is focus, and the other is double vision. When I'm driving, I want to see clearly about 150 to 250 feet ahead of me. The glasses I have now, I find that they resolve a clear image maybe somewhere between 25 and 50 feet, and my ophthalmologist says she doesn't think she can improve upon that.
I've got a couple thoughts. I'm not sure it's exactly your situation, but glasses are normally corrected for your distance vision is normally for 20 feet and beyond. And from an optical standpoint, if you can see beyond 20 feet, you basically can see to infinity at that point. And so when they do the correction, they set it up for, you know, you're in a room actually, and if it's not 20 feet to the screen that you look at, they use a series of mirrors to make it 20 feet away. And so that's what they do. When they say 20/20 vision, is you see 20 feet away what the average person is supposed to be able to see at 20 feet. And so I think your doctor is probably telling you that, you know, they've corrected you for distance vision, and if you can't see beyond that, maybe you've got a general deterioration in your vision which can't be corrected by eyeglasses. I know when I was younger and I had my distance glasses on, I could see like a hawk, you know, way out there. But now way out there is not quite as sharp as it used to be. And some of that has to do with floaters. Some of that has to do with, you know, I've got older retinas and other issues. Now, one of the things that I do know that happens to some people, they have a progressive lens, and in a progressive lens, there's a variability of powers from top to bottom. The very top is your distance vision. In the middle is more of an intermediate vision, and some people in their normal driving position hold their head, their chin up a little bit too far, and they're not looking through the top part of that lens. They're looking through the intermediate part. I don't know if that's the case with you, but think about that as a possibility.
Okay, well, here's the other question, though. Since I have prism in my glasses to correct for double vision, and since my double vision changes with distance,
yes,
does that mean that the prism has to be set correctly to resolve at the distances that I want, 150 to 250 feet?
That's a very good point, and I'm glad you mentioned that. In a pair of glasses where you've got prism and you have dissimilar power and prism in one eye and the other, at the point of that lens where you're looking through, the prism has to be balanced at that for your prescription. And it is possible, now that I'm thinking that through as a possibility, that where you look through that pair of glasses, it may not be balanced. So here's my suggestion, if it might help, is determine exactly where that pair of lenses is. When you put the pair of glasses on in driving position, you look off. Are you looking, you know, 8 millimeters below the top of the frame or 10 millimeters or whatever? Try to determine where that is. And then ask your doctor dispenser to make sure that your prism and your power is balanced at that height. and that could, I'm not real optimistic about that solving your problem, but I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, worth giving it a shot. Thank you so much for calling. Just as an aside, I was having some trouble with my driving at night with the lights and such, and last time I stopped for gas, instead of cleaning the window I cleaned the window on the outside, but I also took that squeezy on the inside the car and did the front windshield, which people were looking at me kind of strangely because I was getting water all over the dash. But you know what? It made a difference. The inside became much cleaner, and I had a better vision at night.
I had a lot of people tell me that, and that's just kind of the basics of thinking through the whole optical system between that object out there and me. What's in the way? Your eyeglass lenses, are they clean? The windshield of their car, inside and out, is it clean? And yes, that's part of it.
Well, thanks again. I'm sorry,
Larry. There's one thing that I just wanted to mention. In addition to getting a pair of eyeglasses that is correct, there's a lot of optical aids that are available that people can use for specific visual tasks. And I've done a little survey of people in the, optical dispensaries, and about 20% of the operations really have somebody that it can address that. Most places have magnifiers and some kind of a reading aids, but there's about 20% that really specialize in that. So just for example, if somebody does a needlepoint or, that kind of thing like that, their glasses may not be exactly what they need. There's a thing called a lap magnifier. They're very inexpensive. They're about 6 inches by 8 inches, a big surface magnifier. It's a little rope that goes around your neck to hold it halfway between your eyes and the object that you're doing the point on. They work wonderful, and they're very, very expensive, and they solve. I used to explain it to people, and they would, my goodness, this changes everything. That's their hobby. They need something they didn't have. I mean, you could get a magnifier on an arm that comes over and does it, but that's very awkward. This little thing just fits around your neck, hangs, it pivots on your chest, and you've got this big window to look through and see what you're doing. There's places, the people that have, different types of magnifiers, different power of magnifiers. For people that have really low vision cases, they've got video cameras now that can look at a page in a book and project it on a large screen, large TV monitor or television or a computer monitor or whatever to read. So people that used to have serious low vision problems, there's a lot of really good, inexpensive solutions today to help people with that. So, again, like you say, there's about 20% of the people, the dispensers out there, that really address this. And if you have issues like that, call them up and find one that says, yep, I know about that. I can take care of you.
Hmm. Tom and Nelson has something for us. Let's go there. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for this.
What can we do for you?
Yes, what? Sorry.
What questions do you have?
Oh, yeah. This is very apropos. Just last week, I was at Mayo Clinic, and I was diagnosed with astigmatism. First time in my life, I'm age 68, that I'll have to wear glasses. Anyway, he didn't prescribe anything. I'm looking at my computer screen now, wearing my cheaters, so to speak. And he prescribed nothing for my close-up vision. He just wrote down 2.5, 2.5 for both eyes. And I can't see the computer screen very well. Do I need another prescription or what?
If he prescribed 2.5, 2.5 in, that number in each eye, that means 2.5 diopters, and it's almost always a plus 2.5. I'm assuming he put the plus there. And that sounds like basic reading glasses. And that does not indicate astigmatism. Astigmatism would be plus 2.5 minus 0.75, or there's a separate number, and then there would be an axis, 110 or 95 or something like that.
Right.
In the prescription. So if you don't have have that. He's not prescribing for the astigmatism. He might have told you you had presbyopia.
No, he said definitely astigmatism and gave me a prescription, but I'm looking at the computer now with my reading glasses, and the left eye is fine. That doesn't have astigmatism. I look through the right eye, and it's blurry.
It's possible he made a mistake in jotting down the numbers.
Or did he just not test for that?
If you went to a regular eye examination, they always check for astigmatism. They check for power.
No.
This was eye balance.
This was at Mayo Clinic, and
I'm sure they did a fine job
for that. But I really can't see the computer screen out of the right eye. And how do you? Should I go back and ask them and go to another one and say, can I get a prescription specifically for reading glasses?
Yes, I would. I think you need to go back because it should, you know, if you never had any need before and you did it, just kind of a general rule of thumb. If people have fine distance vision and it's the same power in both eyes and they don't have astigmatism and they get reading glasses, generally speaking, if you're going to read at the normal distance of 14 or 15 inches, the power that you need, and if you're going to a drugstore to pick a pair of cheaters up, about 2.25 or 2.50, they're pretty close. That's usually the right power for that distance. If you're going to try to look at a computer screen, which is farther away, that's too much power for that. And what you need for a computer screen is usually about plus 1.5 or 1.25 or 1.75, but somewhere in that range. And so if people are trying to get by with just a specific pair of glasses for a specific issue, you know, what you use for reading is different than what you use for a computer. The farther away you go, the less plus power you need.
There we go. So go back and check in with that doctor again is your advice, right, Jim?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. As you were talking about computer screens, I was looking at my own computer screens while I'm on the air, and I have three different computer screens to look at while I'm on the air, and they're all at different distances. So my head sometimes is bobbing a little bit up and down as I'm talking on the radio.
When I used to teach people to wear progressive lenses, I'd say point your nose and adjust your chin. So turn your nose, point it at what you want to look at, and then move your chin up and down until it's in focus. Now, in the beginning, you got to think about that, but as time goes on, you just do it automatically, and you do it, and it's right there. Beauty of modern-day progressive lenses is you can just about see anything anywhere without taking your glasses on or off. You might have to turn your nose, you might have to adjust your chin, but it's there.
You know what? That's exactly what I do without even thinking about it. That's interesting. Therese in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I like your show, but I'm calling regarding that lady that called on the lower-priced eyewear.
Yeah.
I've worn glasses forever, and I bought some because I needed to save money, and they are cheaply made. They are not the same. The quality of the lens is terrible. So I went back, and I went to my regular eye doctor. The glasses from your eye doctor is so much clearer than the discount stores.
Hmm. Well, thank you for calling. A comment, Jim?
I hear that a lot, and one of the big things that I would add to that is that if you go to a respectable local place and you do have problems, they really want to help you. You go back there, and they'll figure out a way to solve it. Not everything works perfect the first time, but a local person that's concerned about it will help you dig in and find a solution. And it's hard to find somebody like that in some of the commercial places.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Well, Jody in Superior, thank you for waiting. Your turn.
Hi, good morning.
See, I'm wondering if you have seen the commercials on TV for the eyeglasses you can purchase that have a little knob on each side, so you adjust it according to your eyes for seeing distance or up close. And if you have, what you think of those?
I haven't seen the specific ad that you're referring to. I have seen, and they've been around for a long time, glasses that have the ability to change the distance on there. I'm not quite sure, because you can get a pair of progressive lenses, and like we just talked about, you adjust your chin and do exactly the same thing. And so I'm not sure what they're trying to gain by doing that, and it seems a little bit cumbersome to have to look at something and turn a dial to get it to work. So other than that, I can't make much comment on it.
Interesting. Thanks, Jody. I haven't seen that ad either. Stu in La Crosse, it's your turn. Hi, Stu.
How are you doing?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Great show. First of all, several things. Number one is when I was 21 years old, I tried to sign up for the Navy to fly. I wanted to be a pilot in the worst way, and I found out for the first time ever I had astigmatism. So I couldn't fly back in those days, but the good news, I became an avid reader as a result of it, number one. Number two is, I love rimless glasses, and I went to my doctor, got a prescription, so on, and he told me the price was $200 for the frame and $200 for the lenses, and I said, wait a minute, rimless? I went next door to an antique store for $12, bought a beautiful set of glasses, took them back next door, and I've got a pair of glasses that I just adore with no nose guards, and it stays right around my ear, doesn't move anywhere like the old days. They're wonderful. I love them.
So what? Well, Stu, you're one of a kind almost, I bet. Jim, what comment?
Yeah, well, I did the same thing in my younger years. And I wore a pair of antique glasses for a long time just because it was kind of fun. And indeed, they were different and very lightweight, and like he got them because they were antiques for very inexpensive, but yeah, one, great.
One more quick question, Jim. What recommendations do you have in terms of age specific, where if I'm 74, if I have an exam every single year, but the young kids, what year do they, how do you gauge, is it 8-12 they should have an annual, or every couple of years? Whatever recommendations you have would be helpful.
You mean for a child?
But yeah, well, I'm just looking at age specific. Yeah, for when do you start doing eye exams, annually versus every couple of years?
Okay. Well, the general recommendation is that, you know, a child is at least looked at when they're 6 months old, and a regular pediatrician will do. You've probably seen them do it. They can't. It's hard because kids are moving around, but they can get an ophthalmoscope and kind of look in there and look for general things to inspect it. So they don't go through an actual eye exam, but they do kind of a precursory health examination. And then about 3 years old, they're usually old enough to be able to respond a little bit. And a lot of optometrists have what they call a baby well exam. A lot of times they don't even charge for it. And they'll, because they can't really do a complete one, but they'll do a little bit more than the precursory one that I mentioned. And then by the time kids get in school, if they're 5 or 6 years old, you know, now it's important for them to be able to see the board, to see the things that they're reading or whatever. And an actual eye examination, the kids are old enough at that point to cooperate and to see if things are good to go. If everything is good to go, then you can push it out a couple years, keep an eye on it or whatever to pay attention to. When people get older, they say people in their, 30s, 40s, in that area, maybe every 2 or 3 years is enough, unless you have some kind of a problem. Once you get up into 60s or so, then more eye health things start coming along, and many people say at least once a year, other people say every 2 years, but beyond 2 years, it's probably a little bit too long.
Yeah. Super. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Stu. Lori in Wheeler, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had glasses. I started wearing them since eighth grade. And it's been pretty usual, you know, every eye exam, I'd have to get a new pair like every 2 years. But now it's been a little, I'm up there more now, and it seems like I need to get a change in glasses, but they or lenses, but they say I don't. But since I started with floaters, and now with I've been seeing. I have astigmatism, and then they gave me bifocals, and it's getting to the point now that I have to. I have to have them to see far away. I have to put them up when I read.
Mm-hmm.
But even with my glasses on from normal distance from the kitchen to the TV, I could read, but I've been having a lot of trouble seeing the words. And also, they move.
The words move on you.
Yes.
Okay.
And
all right. Well, let's see what Jim's got to say. Jim?
I got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
First of all, when you're younger, especially through your teenage years, you said you started when you were 13, 14. It's typical for people to start needing, and through that time, to every year get a little bit stronger prescription. People call it, usually, it's progressive myopia. So that's not that uncommon. When you get into your early 20s, it tends to stabilize more, and there might be some minor changes through that time, but generally it stabilizes. When you get into your 40s and 50s, then presbyopia starts to kick in, where you need something for near vision. The other part, you mentioned floaters, and we discussed that before. There's a general deterioration of your whole optical system as you get older, and your retina gets a little more worn out in your floaters, and you might have cataracts. There's all these things start to add up, and nobody sees as well when they're 60 as they did when they were 30 or 40. And, I mean, it's not that you're not going to be able to see, but you need. That's why we talked about all these issues, to do everything you can. If it's important to you, all of these things to optimize your vision. Clear lenses, the correct lenses, frame adjusted on your face properly, you know, the whole litany of things that we've discussed so far.
So it's worth it to go back to the eye doctor and have yourself checked out again. And
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Lori. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jim, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Larry, it's great fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Jim LaLuzerne, been a CEO of 5 different optical-related companies, the president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world, inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, and an all-around good guy. Always great to have him come by, and I'm sure he will be back with us again to talk about prescription eyewear. Coming up, I'm going to switch gears and talk with you about Wisconsin and Our Wisconsin magazine with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin. Stay with us.